Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Now, let's talk about self-esteem. Low self-esteem can significantly reduce the quality of a person's life in many different ways, but there are strategies that can be employed to boost it. Niamh Delmar is a chartered counselling psychologist who works in this area, joins me in studio to have a chat about it. Niamh, you're very welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we're all familiar with the term, but probably wouldn't be able to clearly say what it is. How would you define self-esteem?
Well, self-esteem is the opinion that you have of yourself.
Okay.
And what
okay.
you like yourself.
Okay. In a nutshell, that's it. One line, your opinion of yourself. Okay. Is there a difference between self-confidence and self-esteem?
There is. They overlap, but okay. there is a difference. Self-confidence is more your trust in your abilities. So, you know that you have a knowledge in something or you're skilled at something, but doesn't mean you're going to have good self-esteem. You could feel very confident in a job environment, but yet not have high self-esteem.
Okay. And would low self-esteem, would that typically affect someone on a day-to-day basis? And how would it do so?
It would affect everything because
really?
It reflects on absolutely everything. It's kind of like our foundation and it begins with you. So it's going to affect relationships, the expectations a person has, the standards that they expect from others, even in the workplace. You know, I mightn't be able to go for that job. I wouldn't be able for it. So it's very pervasive throughout all aspects of life.
And how do you recognise that? I mean, if you're a person who has low self-esteem, I would suspect it's always other people that maybe tell you, family and friends. But if you're listening to this now, what questions would you ask yourself to try and figure that out?
Yeah, it's to kind of assess, you know, how do I feel about myself? Do I like myself? What's the inner dialogue saying about me? Is it very negative, or am I able to appreciate my positive qualities? Or sometimes I might ask somebody in therapy about their qualities and they may not be able to tell me.
Oh, wow.
You know, so the self-esteem is so low.
Yeah. What elements tend to influence a person's self-esteem? Is there genetic component there, or is it mainly influenced by life experiences?
Yeah, great question. A lot of aspects of psychology are kind of biological, psychological and social. But with this one, it's a lot around the environmental factors. OK, you know, somebody's personality, we could say that might be kind of have a genetic component to it.
OK,
so maybe somebody more introvert might struggle a bit more. But a lot of it will be around social. So upbringing, childhood, very harsh, critical parenting has been associated with low self-esteem, but also other life experiences like bullying.
Okay, would have a lasting effect.
Yes.
And how
yes.
and how a child is treated by their inner circle, by that I mean their guardians, their parents, their
yeah.
trusted peers, would that have an effect?
That's a big one, because as somebody gets older, they're separating out from parents. So even though the parents have been working good, you know, to raise the self-esteem and tell them that they're good at this, that and the other, they get into a little bunch of peers and then that can get dismantled.
Mm. Okay. How might someone feel then about themselves if they were considered to have a normal level of self-esteem?
Fairly authentic sense of self, and they come across quite authentic, and nobody's really going to knock it. So if they have a different opinion to somebody else, they're not afraid to say it. They're a clear communicator and quite assertive, and they have clear expectations and needs set with other people. So they're not going to take, you know, maltreatment, because they'll see that, no, I don't deserve that and I'm not going to have that.
It's lovely to be around those people, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it does. And it's the people that people are around matter, you know, and that really rubs off on all of us, doesn't it?
If someone struggles to think of their good qualities, how do you get them to see them? I mean, does it take a lot of time to understand what your best points are? Is there exercises you can do, or do you have to seek professional help to rectify your level of self-esteem?
Yeah, it depends on how damaged it is. Sometimes people never even get a chance to really develop a good, strong sense of self-esteem.
Wow.
So they're starting from scratch. And for other people, they might have had some bumps and bruises along the way, and they can talk through that, or they can just work on some practical things, like just starting every day, just looking back and saying, what went well today? Or what was I happy with today? You know, little by little, we can't have the big cheesy, I love myself thing. It's not going to work. But we can just start little by little with what went well today? What are my friends? friends saying about me? You know, what are my qualities that they see in me? And that can be very inspiring for people to hear something from somebody else.
I said in the intro there that, you know, having a healthy self-esteem is so important in life because it affects everything about the way you think about yourself and how you behave. It impacts your decision making. Can we just elaborate on that? I mean, the benefits of having a healthy self-esteem, what are they?
Yeah, the person is going to expect and, you know, a certain standard in their life, even in work, you know, whether it's in work or personal relationships or decision making. Because otherwise, if the person has a very fragile sense of self and self-esteem, it's going to be kind of questioning all the time. Should I do that? Is that the right thing to do? Would I be able to do that? And they're avoiding a lot of stuff as well. Whereas the person with the healthy self-esteem will, you know, see a mistake as an opportunity for learning. They won't beat themselves up. Like, say a student fails an exam. Well, one student with low self-esteem will say, that's it. That's me now done. I'm a failure. Everything's gone wrong, you know. Whereas somebody with good, healthy self-esteem would be able to say, okay, that paper was tough enough and I probably should have done a little bit more work in that. Let's look how, you know, we can change that and we'll keep going. So there's a big difference there.
Yeah. As parents, how do we work on our child's self-esteem? There's so many other influences that we need to contend with. And social media is one of them and is blamed for a lot of things these days. But in the case of self-esteem, I mean, that must have a huge impact. And you mentioned earlier there bullying as well. So just from a parent's point of view, how do we protect our child's self-esteem or help them develop a healthy self-esteem? How do we do that?
Yeah, we don't want to go over at the top and tell them that they're great at everything and they can win everything, you know, because that gets a little bit inflated and it's happening a bit with as parents. Mm-hmm. But and then they go out in the world and they're like, oh, I'm not that great. So we want to kind of have that realistic, you know, sense of self-esteem being built up for them. And also when they're going out in the world, it's not the world anymore, it's a digital world. You know, the horse has bolted, that's happening, it's going to happen for them.
Yeah.
We're in it. So that's great, it can be really inspirational for them. But if a child is in any way vulnerable going into that world, they won't be able to cope. So they have to be really prepared, and each parent has to really look at their child and say, are they ready for that digital world? Are they ready to go out? Like the way, are they ready to go out to the shops on their own? Are they ready for that world? Can we practice scenarios, get them prepared? What is their self-esteem like? Especially we know girls between 11 and 14 are getting heavily blasted negatively with self-esteem because of self-image aspects of it as well.
Have you seen a massive decline in girls with low self-esteem between that age as recently or like in recent years?
I think it's getting more pervasive, you know, and image is, you know, being sold so strongly out there. Again, if somebody's equipped for it and they're ready for it, but if they're in any way vulnerable and their self-esteem is low, they're going to just internalise all that and they're going to be left with that feeling of, I'm not good enough, I'm less than. Because, you know, to a lot of girls and even older girls that I work with in their 20s, and they look back and they might say, everybody seemed to be wealthy, everybody seemed to be clever, everybody seemed to be gorgeous, everybody seemed to have things, because social media is presenting that, you know. But the most shiny person on social media could have very low self-esteem.
Absolutely, and they generally do, unfortunately. So I presume early intervention is important when we're looking at self-esteem.
Yeah.
How do we recognise it in our kids? I'm sure you'd know by the way they, you know, with exams or in social circumstances or in games or stuff like that, you can see it quite clearly, right?
Yeah, it's tricky because they might come across confident, because a lot of kids are coming across quite confident now. You know, there's less kind of maybe less confident kids that you might have seen in 10, 20 years ago. So there's a lot of confidence out there. And in social media, it can look very confident with teens and that, you know, look at me kind of thing, you know, and everyone's looking kind of happy in a certain way. But it's harder to kind of see how really they are underneath that mask. You know, and parents sometimes, like, do we spend enough time kind of asking
listening them,
what's your qualities or what did you like about yourself today? Or, you know, because we're all thrown with homework and the mundane aspects of life and, you know, sorting out little problems or whatever it might be. So I suppose schools and parents, we can probably focus a little bit more on those day-to-day
listen
things.
More and listen, yeah. I suppose, to the language our children are using about themselves.
Yes, absolutely. The language, that's so key. What are they saying? You know, and what would they say if you asked them what your qualities are or how you're feeling about yourself? and what you liked about yourself today.
So without going to therapy, if you have a child with low self-esteem or someone in your life with low self-esteem, let's focus on children for a second because I know a lot of parents are listening. How do we change that? How do we get them to have better self-esteem as a child?
I think it's
a work in progress?
I think it's a work in progress, yeah. But I think it's a daily thing.
Okay.
You know, doing a little course or having a little book once a year, you know, we might kind of think, oh, better look at that. But I think it's a daily thing. What did you like about yourself today, or what went well today? Or if they're having issues with peers, what can they do, you know, encouraging them to make some decisions about how they can handle and problem solve? Because that's a great boost for self-esteem, is them learning how to problem solve. OK, Johnny fell out with me last week, but we sorted it out. We can move forward. That doesn't mean I'm a bad person.
Yeah, I heard a great one from another parent, and she said she always talks, her kid has quite low self-esteem, and she always talks about her kid super positively to her husband, and the kid is an earshot. So she's not directing it at the child, but the kid is known, oh my God, my mother talks about me so well, and you know, to other people, I must be that, or you know, because she's not saying it to
Brilliant.
Me with ulterior motives.
Absolutely.
It's a good little trick, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
I like that one. I
and
like
it's,
that.
It's also genuine, you know, because kids pick up if it's too flowery and it's, oh, you're great. You know, that's not going to wash. It has to be specific, targeted, and preferably when something has been spotted. And something about their core self, not what they're doing, and not all external stuff, because that they can get lost in that and think everything about me is all about what I achieve, what I do, what exam I got, you know, but all about those other things. You're a really kind person, or you know, I saw you there with your brother and you're, that was really helpful, you know, those more inner qualities rather than all this external
important
fluff
ones. The important ones.
Yeah.
Okay, look, I assume we all suffer with low self-esteem at certain times across our lives, but at what point would you say to somebody, you might need proper help in dealing with this?
Yeah, I think if it's starting to affect your daily functioning or relationships, people can get into very unhealthy relationships or friendships with low self-esteem.
Okay.
And if that's kind of getting affected, or you feel that you're not able to make the changes you want to make. So if it's affecting kind of day-to-day functioning, it's worthwhile just talking through that with somebody.
Talking to a professional, absolutely. Well, listen, thank you so much for popping in and having this chat today, especially as there's so many common sense approaches we can take. And early intervention, I think, as we said, is probably key. Niamh Delmar, thank you so much for coming in. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon. And I just want to say, if you guys have been affected by any of the issues covered in this conversation, you can find lots of information and resources by searching the RTE helplines. Good morning. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.